mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning are the words of the Gospel from Matthew chapter 18. My dear brothers and sisters, forgiveness is an easy thing to talk about, but a much harder thing to practice and to live. We know what we should do. We know what we're called to do. But do we live like that? It's not just Christians who know these things. Even unbelievers know the importance of forgiving, at least to an extent. But how readily do we not follow forgiveness in our lives? Do we look for excuses to hold on to things rather than to be gracious? I love him, but I don't know if I can forgive this another time. After all the times that I've been betrayed, I've lost my trust, and I don't know if anything's going to get it back again. Time after time after time, the same offense over and over again. Enough is enough. These sort of statements fill our hearts, but they break our hearts, especially if we're the one who's not being forgiven. But too often, it's just the other way around. Forgiveness is easy to talk about, but hard to follow. And it's a critical topic for us today, something we live in each day. And so this gospel teaches us about forgiveness. And if we're to really understand where it's coming from, I think to be fair to the disciples and to understand ourselves, it's important for us to remember the context of it all. It follows immediately without a break after the gospel from last Sunday. And last Sunday, we focused on the beginning part of that gospel. But near the end, Jesus focused particularly upon forgiveness. And he writes these words in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 18. They're found in your bulletin. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we have been freed from our sin again this morning. God's word of absolution has been spoken over us, and the sins that were loosed from us are forgotten by our God. We are holy and free and delivered. When we turn to a passage like that one, would we not rather rewrite the word of God to be a little more accurate to reality? If your brother sins against you, put it on Facebook. Call your friends. Keep silent and shun him until that sin festers and gets worse in resentment. Or when your brother sins against you, figure out what it cost and find a way to get payback in equal measure. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus' words are much clearer than that, and graceful. If your brother sins against you, don't gossip. Don't immediately go and talk to other people, but go to your brother alone. Reconcile with one another. And if that doesn't work, take some others along from the church. And the goal here is not to vindicate myself. After all, if your brother sins against you, is it not easier just to let it go? No, the goal is that we have a brother or sister in Christ who's cut off from the body, who has unforgiven sin festering in them in a way that jeopardizes their faith and jeopardizes the wholeness of the body of Christ. The goal is to reconcile our fellow believer. It's all focused on the good of the one who's sinning, that they might be restored, redeemed, freed of their sins, that all God's people would live in that joyous grace. And that's his will for us. But we can't help ourselves, can we? Right afterwards, as this morning's gospel starts, Simon Peter asks, humanly speaking, a very reasonable and genuine follow-up question. Well, how much, Lord? How often do I need to forgive him? And I think Peter must have thought he was being generous, because Jesus didn't give a repeat cycle on this. Go, reconcile, sin again, go, reconcile, repeat as often as necessary. Jesus just said, go and regain your brother. So how many times, Lord Jesus? 7 times? Simon Peter, super Christian, ready to forgive more times than Jesus called for, or so he thought. It's easy for us to criticize Peter, but how do we respond? Would he even be willing to forgive 7 times? Some aren't even willing to forgive once. Or once, but no more. After all, doesn't the scripture say somewhere, fool me once, shame on you? Fool me twice, shame on me? Oh no, that's not the scriptures, is it? Sometimes, by God's help, we forgive more often. And do some forgive 7 times for the same sin? Oh, it's rare indeed. Perhaps we see it in a long-suffering spouse, a parent, a friend. But it's not the norm, is it? It's not the way we live in this world. And so Jesus' answer strikes us as a hard dose of reality. I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7, or 77 times. We're not actually sure which number is meant there. The Greek, without a set of separate numbers to go along with, those came along later, leaves a little bit of vagueness in it. Is it 77 or 77s? But it doesn't matter, because a simple fisherman, counting up how many times he's forgiven, simply loses track unless he starts following an accounting system. Forgive, Jesus says, more times than we can count. It's a response of a grateful heart. One who's been forgiven can forgive in return. A response of one who's prayed as Jesus beckons us. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yet even when we fail to forgive, God is so faithful, so gracious, that he keeps on forgiving us. He calls us again to forgive. Jesus turns to Peter, and he lovingly demonstrates why Peter's question and our questions fail to recognize what we have received so freely from our God. So imagine a man who owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, I have to confess to you, I'm calling an audible on the sermon here. Maybe I was just a little bit tired, my math was a little bit off, or I just miscounted the zeros. I made Jesus' number, as extraordinary as it sounds in the bulletin, more doable than what he said. In the ancient world, it would take a common worker 20 years to earn 1 talent. 200,000 years for a person to earn 10,000 talents, and at minimum wage, that would mean he owed about $3.5 billion. That's what he owed his master. And since he could never pay such a great amount, his master turned to him, forgave his debt, and set him free. So imagine a man forgiven of a debt of billions of dollars, who then tracked down a friend who owed him 100 denarii. It's not a small amount for a simple worker. A denarius was a day's pay, so this man owed about $6,600 to his friend. It's not small change. It's serious money. But what kind of person having received billions of debt relief, wouldn't pay forward just a little bit. Have you heard some of the news stories lately about people going through the drive-thru at Starbucks? They buy their drink and they pay for the person's drink behind them. And it goes on in a chain, and the news keeps reporting person after person after person until you get to that guy. That guy who, after 200 some people have paid for the person in front of them, takes his drink and says, "Why, thank you," and drives off, breaking the chain and leaving the person behind him to pay for their own coffee. What a scandal. What a terrible thing it is. But to punish someone for a few thousand dollars when you were forgiven billions? Who do you think you are? A candidate for Congress? Who do you think you are? God? Are you that ungrateful that you can't recognize the gifts that we've been given? How often, Jesus would have us ask, should God forgive the people who sins against him? That's the question that should be asked. For how often has mankind sinned? One was enough. But we have sinned countless times. Who can number even their own transgressions? Even when we try, we only find certain ones. We might note major sins that we've committed, but what of the opportunities we've passed by where God was calling us to another thing? What of the time our actions were fine, but our hearts were wrong? What of our hate, our greed, our jealousy? The many, many times we failed God and his will. What simply of those sins of weakness that are repeated over and over again, though we don't want to do them, we still find ourselves falling into them again and again? 77 times is too few. 70 times 7 is too few. And it's too small for a forgiveness for God himself, for his mercy is endless. And to us, completely free, but not to him. Forgiveness came at a great cost. The cost of the only begotten Son of God nailed to a cross. The cost of the life of the only one who had committed no sin, and the only one who could truly count the number of sins that had been forgiven. He died for that sin. And even there, hanging on a cross, he looked at those who were killing him and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Ours is a God who forgives abundantly, freely, without counting, without limit, without end. Not just 77 times, but as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. His mercies are new every morning. And God forgives. And God forgets. For the sake of Christ, he's taken it all away. It's gone. And he looks and sees only Jesus. Today he calls us, we who have been forgiven, to be little Christs, to be like Jesus, one for another. That when our brother sins against us, there's nothing to remember, because the past sin was forgiven. So how many times can your brother or your sister sin against you? Just once. Because when you forgive them, there is no sin. So how can they sin again? They're simply sinning. And what do? We forgive. God calls us to be like Jesus, extending mercy where there is sin, grace where it's needed. Not to keep score and track of those sins, because he doesn't do that, nor to excuse sin and pretend it doesn't matter. He doesn't do that either. He forgives it. No, our Lord Jesus calls us today and every day to receive his grace, to share his grace, to bring his mercy right where it's needed most, into the life of a brother or sister who has sinned and need God's forgiveness, who has sinned and needs our forgiveness and love. And what a blessing that God would care for us so to allow us to be the agents of grace, to allow us that wonderful opportunity in our own lives to loose people from their sins and hold that forgiveness binding before our Father in heaven. It's a gift he's given to us and a gift we can give to one another. Let's use that gift to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God.